Has anybody here seen the 1989 film of William Shakespeare's Henry V with Kenneth Branagh starring? Just one person? Oh, okay. Wow, the very magnificent, highly acclaimed film, incredibly stirring musical score. Right, Chris?
Very much so.
And there, for those of you who are familiar with William Shakespeare's Henry V, the high point of the movie in Shakespeare's beautiful playwriting is Henry V when he stirs up his soldiers at the Battle of Agincourt, you know, to says, "Come, you band of brothers," and as he leads them out into battle. On St. Crispin's Day, the St. Crispin's Day speech, you know, very stirring. And Henry V, you know, that's the kind of image, I think, that one of the images that we have when we think of king, you know. Another might be the Sun King, King Louis XIV, who rules in the midst of great opulence and wealth and power from the Palace of Versailles. But we in the U.S., of course, are used to presidents as our rulers. And we like to elect, you know, good-looking, take-charge, commanding men to the presidency. Men who are presidential. So we elect Ronald Reagan and Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. And we like our presidents to show the power and might of the USA, bringing to heel upstart nations with our fighter jets and battleships and superior firepower. But today the church gives homage to the king of the church, the king of the world, the king whom God has appointed, who stands in marked oppositional contrast to the likes of Henry V, or Louis XIV, or our best presidents. Because this is a man who dies a bloody, painful, humiliating death after being terribly tortured, abandoned by all but a few. Some king, huh? So the Roman Empire thought, the empire of the mighty Caesars. And they mocked the Jews by placing an inscription above the head of this alleged criminal, because they despised the Jews. And the inscription says, "This is the King of the Jews." What a joke. And the Roman soldiers, who understood might as physical strength and force, also mocked Jesus, saying, "Real kings can save themselves through ruling force." They cannot understand a king like that. They were all about extending the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, the Roman peace, by importing the superior Roman way of life to all nations in the world, whether those nations wanted it or not. And the way that they made peace was the way that all empires did so before them, and all empires have done since to this day. They made peace by preemptive invasion of other countries, by overthrow of governments that did not match the Roman way of doing things, and by the exploitation of the natural resources of those countries to enhance the Roman way of life. And all of this required the wielding of might and force through violent conflict. Thus they extended the Pax Romana. But violent conflict never leads to peace. It never makes peace. It only leaves shattered lives and plants the seeds of future wars in the resentment and anger of the conquered. And so St. Paul describes in our second reading today how this king is different. This king who he says is over all thrones, ruling forces, sovereignties, and powers. This king, Paul says, makes peace through his nonviolent death on the cross. We see the wisdom of God in choosing to send his son, the king of the universe, in that particular time and that particular place to be executed under that form, because it stands as a visual of what this king and his kingdom are all about. Cruciform, open, vulnerable, extending wide his arms in a loving and forgiving embrace to all, giving his life out of love instead of taking the lives of others. And thus St. Paul describes the peacemaking strategy of this king, Jesus Christ, who makes peace through his death on the cross. So two criminals are executed along with Jesus, and one of them, like the Roman soldiers, abuses Jesus for the same reason that they did. You know, a king does not end up like that. And the other criminal has an amazing conversion, because he somehow recognizes in this loving, forgiving, nonviolent man dying next to him the majesty and nobility of a true king. And that criminal acknowledges it. And thus he is, as St. Paul says in our second reading, rescued from the ruling force of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of the Son whom God loves. It takes a certain maturity, aided by grace, to acknowledge Jesus as King and to place our lives in submission to his Lordship. And thus, David, in our first reading, who is a type and prolepsis of the Son of David, Jesus Christ, is anointed king by the elders of Israel, because it takes that maturity to recognize Jesus as the king and to offer homage to him. And so, church, today this feast day challenges us to grow to the full maturity of Christ our head, to anoint Jesus as our king, and to unite our voices with that bold homage given by the criminal who died with Jesus. This man has done nothing wrong. May he be acclaimed and glorified forever. Amen. Amen.